You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. And yes, guess who's back? Back again. Bart is back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? How was the 3-1-3rd?
3-1-3rd was solid. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's always good to go home. You know, you don't like to go home for that reason, but it's all good, man. All is well that ends well, and you know, got a chance to see the family, you know, grieve together, be each other's strength, and now we, you know, we move on and move forward and try and you know, have happy days.
Happy days are here again with you back here with us. 800-919-3776 is the number, and of course we'll get the calls going. We had a lot has happened
since like just 2 days. Just gets busy in 2 days like that.
Yep, it does. Well, you got the combine going on, so all the rumors happening, and obviously the NBA season continues to roll on. I do have to ask you right out of the gate, though, is Mecole Hardman.
Yes.
And that whole, all the drama going on with him and the Jets and all the different things. Like, did you hear all the stuff that he had to say? The Jets lied to him, all the things that go on. He refused to return punts. Said I would never do it. Said there's no structure. You want to hear any of it just to refresh your memory?
Well, I've heard all of it.
Okay.
You know, thanks for the pivot and all the all that stuff. Right. People get on podcasts and then they just talk recklessly.
Yep.
And I felt like he felt betrayed. But at the end of the day, didn't they do right by him by trading him back to the Kansas City? They could have held on to him and not traded him back to a place where he was going to have a chance to win a championship. So they did right by him at the end. And you know while they catch strays and. You know, I have no problems with what he said, but let's remind the people, for those who tune in sometimes, that you know maybe was a little busy and didn't hear what the strays that the Jets caught yesterday.
Yeah, he's no structure at all inside with the Jets.
All on the same level. Nobody's treated differently. If Coach Reed say we don't wear yellow cleats in practice, if Pat go out there and wear yellow cleats, Pat going back and sign and change his cleat. Everybody treated the same. So it's like when we was out there, there was no really structure was going on. And obviously it's new coaches and stuff like that, but I'm trying to help y'all out. But y'all like, oh, whatever, like, and then y'all telling me certain things, like I meet with you and you like, yeah, I'm gonna get you some plays. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you get involved in the game plan by play two plays.
How about the Jets lying to him?
Telling me certain things like I meet with you and you like, yeah, I'm gonna get you some plays. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna make sure you get involved in the game plan by play two plays. That's not that you can't tell me that. I'd rather you tell me I feel like these guys better than you and we'll figure you out later. I bet I can take that. I'm a grown ass man. I understand that. But when you keep telling me and feeding me lies and saying certain stuff, then that's what don't sit right with me because like I know for a fact I'm better than him for sure. Like I ain't trying to, you know where I know I'm better than him. I'm better than him too. Garrett Wilson, the only person y'all should just be like, hey,
he can go.
He's one of them guys.
So
I have no problem with y'all putting around Garrett Wilson for sure. I don't care. Like that's fine. But when you come to certain other things, like come on, like I don't understand why I'm not in the rotation with that. And y'all never gave me a reason as to why either.
He was targeted three times. He made one catch. That's basically it. They wanted to have him return punts, and he told the story of why he refused to do it.
That's something you relate to your next person. You got to let them know. That's like if your QB hurt, you need to tell the backup, hey, I need you to take more extra reps this week because you might have to play this game. That's what a coach does. If you a coach, that's what you do. You know. National Football League, bro. You not in Pop Warner. You a coach.
Right.
You supposed to let people know that. Because if I'm not a star returner, my mindset ain't on returning in the game. It's not. Unless I actually have to really do it. You know what I'm saying? So we get to the thing. Mind you, he got hurt on Wednesday. I didn't get talked to him Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I have not one word to this man. Sunday on the field, we out there catching punts. I got pads on. We finna play. I'm on the knee. The team finna come out. Especially the coordinator come to me, like, hey, I need you to be the star returner in this game. I said, no, I'm not returning punts for you, bro. He told my son, oh, you don't want to do it? No. Why would I want to return punts for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I want to return punts for you? First of all, the reason I said it because not too long ago, you telling the head coach that you don't trust me back there.
Right.
And I wouldn't meet with you and tell you, like, hey, why you don't trust me?
So he's just letting it all loose, mm-hmm. all of it there, and but then
let's keep it in perspective, right? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
He played 6 games with the Kansas City Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
the most structured place that he can be in, right? Like a wide receiver's metropolis, playing with the best quarterback, a tank guy he had already won a championship with. He had 118 yards receiving. So I'm trying to figure out how much did they trust him. He was targeted 21 times in 6 games, and he only had 14 receptions for 118 yards. So it's not like he went there and he had so much belief and trust by Andy Reid. So if he was still that dude and like, oh, man, we got our guy back. We got our Tyreek Hill back. Let's open him up, because last I can remember – you know, Kansas City was struggling and they didn't have any receivers. So it's not like Mecole Hardman, maybe he needs to understand who he is right now at this point, and maybe the Jets were disappointed in the fact that, you know, he wasn't what they thought he was. Because clearly, even when he went back to Kansas City, he knew the offense, right? He knew the quarterback. He was in familiar territory. I would argue to say that he was more comfortable where he in Kansas City than he was in New York. And, you know, when Aaron Rodgers went down, and I try and listen, I hate to try and be the Jets apologist, right? We all kind of consider and think what Aaron Rodgers tried to do was what Tom Brady did, correct? Like, he thought he was going to go somewhere where he could be respected, and he can kind of bring in his guys, and, mm-hmm. you know, he can kind of hit the ground running with this defense, which, you know, Tom Brady had a tremendous defense underneath Todd Bowles when he went there, and that's one of the reasons why he went there, because he said he can fix the offense. They won 10 games, correct? The year that they won the Super Bowl, they won 10 games. That's a statement, not a question. I'm sorry. I posed it as a question, but it's pretty much a statement. If Tom Brady would have went down in 4 plays of that season, how many games do you think Tampa would have won?
Not many.
The Jets won 7. It's the same situation. So when you talk about it's no structure there, you're correct. When you say it's no standard there, you're correct. Because the standard was never got an opportunity to get set.
Right, the guy that was there to set the standard.
Right. In a new offense.
But he's blaming it on the coaching. You could hear, like, he's talking about the fact that the coaching staff, and his complaint was about the special teams coordinator never came to him, and then the head coach doesn't really hold anybody accountable, and everybody does whatever they want.
Listen, come on, man. I've been there, right? And that's just part of the business. Like, if they ask you to do something, like, you can't be in your feelings. So, of course, what do you think is going to happen next when they ask you to do something on a whim? Guys get sick. Coaches get a feeling. You know what I mean? Maybe let's put McCall back there. Let's see if we can get him going. And get it going. Like, for all indications, you know, when we talked, he was a big part of the first game plan. But then when Aaron Rodgers goes down, the game plan has to change. They didn't know what to do. Who would know what to do? If Tom Brady would have been laying there 4 games after coming to Tampa Bay, people would have been saying the same thing. Oh, there go them creamsicles. They cursed. They would have said the same thing. Like, these guys, 4 plays within the game plan, they didn't even get to the 15-play script. And they're adjusting on the fly.
Now,
would they have done a better job? Absolutely.
Okay. But what did you think, though, of the fact that after all this with Hardman, and then the other thing that he said was it was about, like, week 4, he was already, when they played the Chiefs, he said, I was so checked out, like, over with. I already talked to Brett Veach and Pat Mahomes, like, come get me. And then 2 weeks later, like you said, they ended up trading him where he wanted to go, to Kansas City. And the Jets are now, like Joe Douglas yesterday saying, those comments definitely resonated with us. And, you know, because technically it could be tampering or whatever. Like, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If I'm the Jets, I'm not as concerned about this whole tampering thing. And then the players are coming after him, too. Thomas Morstead went after him. I called him a disgruntled employee and don't believe everything you hear. Sauce has been after him as well. They're accusing him of giving away the playbook in a couple of games, right? Stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's become like a real ugly thing. I got to be honest with you. If I'm Woody Johnson, I'm paying less attention to that silliness mm-hmm. and more attention to the fact that, well, what's he saying? Like, what is he saying about our organization? We have another guy leaving our organization, and he has nothing but bad things to say about it. And we can't keep having this.
But he's a disgruntled guy. So, of course, he's a guy you traded because he didn't live up to the expectations.
But not everybody's like that, though. It didn't work out for me, but they treated me well, or I'm happy. Like this guy completely just destroyed the franchise.
Not when you get traded in the sixth pick in the first six games.
You got back to where you wanted to be. They sent you where – they didn't have to send him where he wanted to go. They could have sent him to the Carolina Panthers.
See, but this is him. This is him trying to say, this is why I didn't have a great season, right? Because guess what? What is he this year again?
Well, I know. He has no idea what his future is going to hold.
So he's a free agent.
And they were laughing about him in the Super Bowl because they were laughing about the fact that he didn't know what he was doing. They were laughing about that. He didn't know the game was over. Like, Mecole Hardman definitely has people that know what he's really about. And one of the things you know he's about is that he's not really a big attention to detail kind of guy.
Right, and that's what some of the rumblings that I heard was that he didn't have a playbook down. So listen, he didn't want to return kicks, but you know.
So he didn't play a lot or get a lot of targets because he really didn't know the playbook?
They said he didn't really know the playbook. Right, so that's why he wasn't really out there.
Well, that says a lot.
What happens is Gibson, wins a game for you the first play of the season.
Right, the kickoff return. Right.
So, when they go to him and say, "Hey, man, can you return punts?" What are they saying? They're saying that, "Hey, Gibson is playing well and he's going to play more receiver, so he's essentially taking your spot. We want you to kind of take some of the load off of him so that we can use him more on offense."
Well, what he
so
was
for
saying,
him, he's hearing a demotion.
No. He said, "You didn't tell me all week, and then game day you're asking me to return punts."
I get you.
And he said, "No. Like, how are you going to tell me on game day?"
Bro, you've been returning punts your whole life. How many times have we seen Tyreek Hill? "Oh, we need a spark. He just go back there." You think he been returning punts all week? I guarantee you that he practiced it. See, this is what you say, right? Like, no matter what, he's on the depth chart. So he returned. He may not have been the main guy, but he goes out there a little earlier and he has to return. He goes and practice punts. He caught some punts that week. I guarantee you, because if you're on the depth chart one through three,
but he said he didn't. No, my point. He said he didn't.
That's a lie, man. Let me tell you something. When you're a special team player and you're on any part of the depth chart, it's a special team practice or period. That's like a half an hour. Like, they can't let the only guy that returned punts not going to do that. That's physically impossible during the middle of practice. So during the middle of practice, a guy that plays receiver that's going to go out and get reps with the twos or maybe with the ones, you think he's going to catch all 10 punts? Because guess what? He's going to run 60 yards after he gets the punt. So somebody else has to come in and catch. Like, I ran down on kickoff just because we had to give the other team a look. So no matter if I wasn't on the kickoff team, I was like on an emergency punt team. I might take one punt return where I just go out, do the footwork, and go out. So what he's saying is he didn't know that he was going to be the starter and he wasn't tied into the return of the week or something like that. But it's not that he hadn't returned punts. Like, that's not possible. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's like we all kind of help out during special team period. Special team period is a part of practice. And I don't know specifically how they do it, but every place I've been, special team is a part of practice. Usually you have special team practice a half an hour before the regular guys come out. So you have special team practice, you come out half an hour early, then practice starts normal and everybody else start working their way out. And then you have a special team period in the middle of practice, kind of like a simulated break, in between before you go to 7-on-7. You do special teams, you go 7-on-7, 9-on-7, then you go to team, and then, maybe some special situations, and you're done. But it's in the middle of practice. So it's no way in hell that he went a whole week and he was going to be dressed that he wasn't going to feel. He didn't feel at least one punt. This is the issue, right? And this is probably what happened. And I'm speculating because I don't know. Okay? When they tell you to come in and do return punts, what that's telling you is you're not pretty much big part of the game plan. Xavier Gibson is a guy that we're trying to get more touches. And essentially, that was your role. Now we're going to flip-flop you, right? Because the first game of the season, who returned the kick for a punt for a touchdown? Gibson, because that was his main role. He wasn't getting any offensive snaps because it was supposed to be Mecole Hardman. Mm-hmm. So then what happens is Mecole Hardman, really, we dressing him. He not doing nothing. So let's put him back there and let's see, because now he's rested. He ain't ran no go routes, no motions. Let's put him back there. And maybe they were like, "Hey, man, let's see if Mecole can give us a spark. Let's put him back there because we know that we're using Gibson." And he was in his feelings because now he knew he wasn't going to get no catches or no attempts because they're pretty much demoting him, right? They're basically, that's why he says, hey, man, you telling me that guy ain't better than me. Who do you think he's talking about? Alan Lazard?
No, he's talking about Gibson.
Yeah, Alan Lazard don't play the slot. Alan Lazard is an X or a Z. So that's who he's talking about. He's talking about Randall Cobb, too. That guy ain't better than me because those are the guys that plays his positions. So, you know, I take it with a grain of salt because, like, of course there's no standard. You have an offense coordinator that just got there. What would the standard be like? Like, if it was the first year of a new coordinator, everybody that, you know, of course, Kansas City's had continuity at the same position, offensive coordinator slash quarterback coach. The majority of the coaches have been there for the better part of 10 years. Of course they got a standard. The defense has a standard. Why, Alan? Because they've been together and they've had the same coordinator for the last 3 years. This was year run, and the standard's supposed to be set about how you run routes, how you meet, how you grow, how you do things, right? That was supposed to be all set.
He was just
even
talking about not wearing the same color cleats and stuff like that. Like, he was going down to that.
Bro, that was a dumb example because I guarantee
you. That detail.
That's stupid. Like, come on, man. Like, it's practice. Everybody, that was him just trying to make an example.
Well,
I don't think that was the actual thing that happened because guess what? You wear what the hell you want to wear in practice.
All right, here's more from Hardman. This is now about Rodgers. And the first thing is just his reaction to when Aaron got hurt 4 plays into the season.
What was your reaction to that?
It's going to be a long day, boy. Because you got to understand, people understand, Aaron is the offense, bro. His thought process and his ability to get to anything that he wants to is scary. There's no bad play with Aaron. Like, I'm telling you, like, run deep, you run down the middle, you stop right here, and you run this slant. He has the ability to Madden, hot routes, he has that ability. He has that ability. It's like, and he's so smart with defenses. Like, in practice, the man be like, yeah, he's blitzing. Hey, you back up, you're not coming. How do you know he's not blitzing, bro? Like, you know, you don't know that. You know what I'm saying? And, like, his mind is fantastic.
That should encourage you.
Yeah,
right?
It's pretty clear.
Of course,
clear.
That's the standard.
Right.
Duh. That's why Nathaniel Hackett was not good, because he didn't have that guy. That's what Garrett has said. That's what Sauce has said. Listen, so. Like,
that's the same thing we've heard from everybody, even like, let's say, a hater like Mecole Hardman, right? Like,
right.
Everybody's saying the same thing. Like, how
so
important
operation,
this guy is to what you're going to be last year, which you didn't, and then this year, which you're hoping to be.
So,
with
so
Aaron
mission
Rodgers.
So mission is do whatever you got to do to keep that
protect
man upright.
Him. Yes. Whatever
because
it takes.
You see, he's giddy. He plays with arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. He arguably plays with the best quarterback in the NFL, and he is waxing poetic. He is like,
yeah.
Man, this dude is amazing.
Like, yeah, he couldn't believe how good he is.
I can't even tell you, like, this dude in defenses. He ain't say that about Patrick Mahomes.
Now,
I would be encouraged that, yo, I understand before I left, it was some maintenance done, and kind of like what I said with, you know, what Rich Samini said about Langton Thomason.
Oh, no, you called the Lakin Tomlinson thing. You definitely did. You told everybody that was coming. And it is, and they're going to have to rebuild the whole offensive line. But just one more thing from Hardman here, because it's all the little criticisms that he had, and I think this one is a bit Captain Obvious, but still it does, you know, bring more light to the fact that what he just said about Rodgers, how he is the offense. So without Rodgers, they tried to run an offense for him without him.
But when a guy like that leaves the offense, and it's like more so it's conceptual, like, okay, now just make the throws, it get harder for the offense. And then you put a lot of pressure on Zach Wilson to try to carry put into that role rather than making the offense where he's at his best. They didn't do that. You know what I mean? I've been situated with Pat getting hurt, and we had Chad Henne in there or more. And Coach Reed just made the offense where it solidified them, and we won games. We went 4-1 when Pat was out.
You can't argue this.
Yeah,
you can call him a hater all you want. He's right about this.
Yeah, that is correct, but you still won 7 games.
Oh.
And if you had Tom Brady and Tom Brady went down, whoever Tom Brady's backup was, if you would have had to go with Chad Henning for a whole year, Patrick Mahomes goes down game one, Andy Reid or not, I would say probably the win total would be 7, 8, maybe 9.
Understood.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you don't think of Aaron Rodgers.
But you had a whole season.
I understand
to
that.
To say we don't have Aaron Rodgers. We know we don't have Aaron Rodgers. We have this guy, Zach Wilson. So, he's limited. Yep, so yep. let's change it up what we're
right,
doing.
Right.
And it didn't seem like they ever came up with something that would have worked.
So Mecole Hardman becomes, you know, probably goes from a 6 to a 2. Right, because he don't even know the offense, so and he basically need Aaron to tell him what route to run.
Well, if he doesn't know the offense, you give him a new offense. Then
no. What I'm saying,
he doesn't have to worry about what he doesn't have to unlearn anything.
You just said that the man didn't know what the game was over in the Super Bowl.
No, he didn't.
So what we talking about? Like we give this guy a lot of credit. So what I'm saying is now you have, you know, Mecole Hardman there, who was a 6 or 7 with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers can say, hey man, this guy not coming or this guy coming, right. I want you to run a slant. So he telling him what to do, so he ain't got to think, right? Then you have a guy like Alan Lazard, who under Aaron Rodgers is like a 7, but without Aaron Rodgers, he's a 2. So then you have Garrett Wilson, who's an 11, and without Aaron Rodgers, he's like an 8. So now you got all these diminishing players that become less than because Aaron Rodgers can't tell them what to do and can't do the thinking for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then now you have a quarterback that needs receivers to say, point out, hey, this guy's coming, I'm hot. But they don't know because they need Aaron Rodgers to tell them. So now it's the law of diminishing returns. Because Aaron Rodgers isn't there, everybody becomes so much less of a player because Aaron's not telling them what to do. It's like when you lose your middle linebacker, right? And, like, automatically, like, for some reason, Ray had, like, a mind like Da Vinci, right? If he can see when the screen is coming. And it can come late, like, guy can motion, like, Bart, 3x1, watch the backside screen. And like, oh, damn, I didn't see that.
Right.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
Bart's got great tackle on the screen. Oh, shit. He told me it was coming. But I wouldn't have known it was coming if he wouldn't told me or alerted me to it.
Right.
That's what Aaron Rodgers provides for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He makes you smarter as a team.
Right.
Yeah.
See, he always had one guy like Davante Adams that can do the thing that's been around Aaron so long that he could do the thinking for him even when it was a backup in there. But Garrett Wilson hasn't been around him that long where he can do the thinking for him, where he can look at a quarterback like Zach that's struggling and say, hey, man, blah, 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 or do a signal. Hey, do this. Mm-hmm. Can do it. So it's not surprising to me. Now, did it have to be that bad? No, it didn't have to be that bad. But am I surprised? I mean, they won 7 games, right? Mm-hmm. And they should have won maybe 8.
800-919-3776 is the number. Let's go to Pete in Jersey. What's up, Pete?
Petey Pablo.
Pete.
Hello?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
I talked to you guys a couple of times before. I'm an Amazon driver, so I listen to you guys.
Hey, man. I'm DJ Z4, baby. What's your station?
I'm DJ Z6.
Ah.
In Jersey. Yeah.
I'm in Kearney. We neighbors, bro.
Yeah, we are. It's a nice job, but... You know, wish I got paid more, but I love
don't we all
being around you.
Yeah, go ahead, neighbor.
Don't we all?
Exactly. I'm a diehard Jets fan. I can't stand when people talk about the Jets bad. Like even Michael Kay, when I'm listening to his show, he just constantly just.
It's low-hanging fruit. Yes. It's low-hanging fruit, man. It's easy for people to say and do, and
exactly.
I think you know people jump
but
on rather than man.
I feel like Hardman, for some reason, I didn't even like him that much when he came here, but I feel like what he's saying, there's nothing you could dispute. Like, he was there. We all saw it. Like, the Jets didn't do anything. They did nothing when he went down. They did nothing to make Wilson's game better. Every single week, it was just till they couldn't do it anymore. Like, they went and they had their bye every single year. It
right.
Like. We have our bye, we go with a head of steam, and then boom. It's done for the year. And then it's just the longest season in the world.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, right? That's why if the offense if it happens again,
I'm worried about
that's
the
why,
coaching.
That's why it's important that they bring in – that's why they're telling Zach Wilson he can seek a trade because they know they have to get a better backup quarterback. It's
Thank
come
you,
from
Pete.
The owner because you may not be able to have the offense that Aaron Rodgers has, but you have to also have a second offense that's catered and geared around whoever your backup quarterback is. Remember, Aaron Rodgers hadn't missed a game in 5 years, so you kind of take that for granted. And I think they took that for granted, and now they realize that, hey – if it happens again, and it could happen again, we have a good enough defense that if we just get, we have to get an upgrade at the backup position. And the hope is that you never use them, and then to a certain extent, that looks like wasted money, right? Because if you go out and you spend $5 million on Jacoby Brissett, and he doesn't play a down, you're like, man, that could have been another safety. But now you have to have insurance.
No, you have to. Like Rich and I talked yesterday about that, and Rich was saying Jacoby Brissett as one of the names and Gardner Minshew as another name, a lot of things that you've been also suggesting. And I said to him, you know what, Rich? This is something that you're going to have to spend on and hope you never see him play. Like, that'll be – if it's wasted money, mm-hmm. then it's money well spent.
It's like
home
insurance.
You want to pay a guy that you – exactly. I want to pay somebody that I never have to play. But I have to pay him – in case I have to, like, I don't want to.
It's homeowner's insurance.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It costs a lot of money.
Like, it is critical.
You're mad, but if Sandy come or something like that, you hope you got it.
Got to be ready for it. All right. 800-919-3776. Also ready for a draft that's coming up in now a little over a month's time. And the Jets have a pick that is an interesting one at 10. But what you heard Mel Kiper say this morning on DNR, and who he has for the Jets right now. If you're a Jets fan, you're like, what? No. But Mel explains why. And we'll let him explain it for you. But I'm dead against it. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Giants' big questions this offseason, one of them being what to do at quarterback moving forward. Earlier this morning on DPHR and Rothenberg, guys were talking with Mel Kiper Jr., and he's a bigger fan of Daniel Jones than most.
I'm higher on Daniel than everybody. I guess everybody else. I don't know. I haven't heard many people rave about Daniel Jones. I'm not raving about him, but I think he's a really good quarterback in this league, a solid quarterback in this league, and who is not has been unfairly criticized. And we've kind of forgotten what he did a few years ago when he got hurt, not because of anything he could do. You get injured because your supporting cast was not very good.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart. You know what today's date is, right?
Today's date.
You don't know the date.
It's the day that Ja Rule was born, so he's actually 15 years old because of leap day.
You can do that. Well, all right, so you know it's a leap day.
Yeah, so Ja Rule is actually 15 years old.
Okay, but it's extended Black History Month day.
Oh, shucky ducky.
Right? You get an extra day this year.
Can't wait! maybe I should read off all the fun facts of contributions of the African Americans to society.
You could.
Since we know they
But then you would have had to prepare for that.
Come on, man. I am Black History. I know what it is. Everybody else don't know.
What are you, Walter White?
I know what it is. Everybody
Black
else.
History. I am Black History. Good.
Stop sign.
Give me some.
Stop sign. Black man.
Yeah.
Straighten the comb. Black woman.
Wait.
The sewing machine. Black woman.
It's the stop sign? You mean the octagon? Are you serious?
No. The actual stoplight.
Stop light?
Yep.
We're going to need to Google this. I'd like to know that.
Yeah.
I think Jacob's nodding his head like he knows something. Give me the story. Like
the actual
most,
arm.
My people, we don't know all this stuff. They don't teach us this when I was a kid. We didn't learn any of this stuff. George Washington Carver. That's the most I know.
They told you about the peanut farm.
They told me about that. But they didn't tell me about everything.
They told you about that, but they tell you about the 100 inventions that he had from peanuts and peanut oil. They just told you he was a peanut farmer.
That's all I knew.
Thanks peanut to butter. Jiffy. Thanks to Jiffy.
Right. Then, remember the Eddie Murphy skit in Saturday Night Live? He died penniless and insane. Remember that?
Exactly, man.
He was like, two names, like George Jiff. Like, yeah, that skit. We have to find that now.
I mean, the technology for the cell phone.
Jacob, let's find that Eddie Murphy, George Washington Carver, Black History moment. Because it's so funny. The way he delivers it, too, is great. So the stop light or stop sign? This is what I need
stop
to know.
Light. Stop light.
The same guy who also created the gas mask.
Yes. And give us no court. They give us
stop
no credit.
Light inventor's name was Garrett Morgan.
Yeah. There's so much stuff, man.
His most notable invention was a type of three-way traffic light.
Yeah.
So he came up with the idea of red, yellow, and green?
Yes.
Really?
I don't know what the colors were.
Hair care products, too, by the way, if you were wondering.
Absolutely. But also the iron.
He has a traffic signal to design the whole thing. This is great. So in 1922, apparently, he witnessed an accident between a horse-drawn carriage and a car, which sparked inspiration to prevent the likelihood of future events occurring. He designed a manually operated traffic signal with moving arms featuring stop and go signs, which could be situated on a post at traffic intersection. Yeah. The arms could be raised halfway to indicate caution moving forward.
Just think about the lawnmower, too.
A traffic attendant would crank the post to operate the signal, and all lanes could be stopped by showing stop if needed. The patent for this signal was issued in 1923. He sold the rights to General Electric for $40,000.
Of course he did.
Well, I mean, you're gonna make money off your invention. That's the way you do it. You go to GE.
You know,
$40,000 in 1923 was a lot of money.
You know they lowballed him. Good play.
This is amazing.
The funny thing is, just think of how many of the black stories we just hearing about. How long did it take us for us to even hear about the Tuskegee Airmen? How long did it take us to even hear about the scientists that helped us get to the moon before Russia? And their contributions, how the mathematicians and all.
Well, the women, that's such a great movie. I love that movie.
But listen, we saw it in 2000. That happened 50, 60 years ago.
Well, it was a book. It just became a movie in 2000. That was a book.
Yeah, but they didn't
it was a book.
It.
What do you mean?
Listen, hold on. We know that Neil Armstrong was the first
because
man
it was on
moon.
Television.
No. We know Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. Why? Because they taught us in school. It's in our history book.
Why isn't
that story? They put it in a book.
90 million people saw it happen. That's why.
What I'm saying is,
you didn't need to go to school to learn that. You saw it.
First of all, you're talking about kids that don't even know who the Fresh Prince is. I think they need to be reminded that, hey, this is what happened in history, one of the greatest moments in how we got to the moon. You have to tell the story about who contributed to get to the moon, right? I mean, and it's not just exclusive there, but we know about Oppenheimer, right? They just made the movie of that. That should have been happened, too. Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer?
The guy who made the...
Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer.
Right.
The guy who made the...
The atomic bomb.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But before that movie came out, how many people knew his name?
None.
Exactly.
Listen, I'm not saying it goes...
It's movies that bring light to a lot of things because people don't read anymore, Bart. Nobody reads anymore.
Right. And so if people don't read, that's important history. Yep. It should be taught.
Yeah, I still try to figure out what's being taught. I don't know.
It should be mandatory reading.
I'm with you. I don't know
because
what's being taught.
Don't read.
There are some things being taught. You're like, why is that even relevant?
Well,
I mean, honestly, there's some things that you're like, why is this relevant to anything right now?
Well, we know
it happened 4 million years ago, and no one cares.
We know in Florida.
I don't care how that mountain got there. I don't need to hear about plate tectonics.
Right, but we know in Florida that they're trying to say that they're not going to teach the teachings of Martin Luther King. Like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, you need to have education. You know, understanding history allows you not to repeat it.
That's true. Learning from it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's,
do you know what Garrett Morgan's, he went by another name?
Because, you know, he ain't want his black family to know he got all that money.
Well, I don't know about that.
Switch it up.
It's actually funny.
Ask me for no money. Man, come on, you just got 40 racks, man.
He took on a disguise called Big Chief Mason.
Ah, see, they know that. You can get lost if you take a Native American name.
And I guess he would listen to this, because he had another invention that was a safety device for firefighters, smoke hood. But he said he went to go around the country selling his device. He also got that one patented as well. He was able to sell his invention around the country, sometimes using the tactic of hiring a white actor who would take credit rather than revealing himself as the inventor.
He had to.
And then other times when he would do demonstrations, he would just call himself Big Chief Mason. Therefore, he was there and demonstrating, but nobody knew that this black guy is actually the one that's making the money off this thing or selling it. Because of, obviously, again, at a time where people would, despite the fact that this thing could really save lives, yeah, I ain't buying it from you. But I'll buy it from that guy. Like, it's like you and me going somewhere, right? Like, and people didn't want to hear from you, so you'd have me talk for you instead.
Of course. It's like what's the movie when he was driving the black man? He was a singer, but the white man was doing it. He had to go act like he was the hell. Listen, this is the crazy thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
People think, oh, that's back in the day. T-Pain just revealed that he writes a lot of country songs, but he stopped putting his name on it because of the racist stuff that he had to face when he put his name on it. So he just said, I'll just take the check. So he stopped putting his name on his work. And that's today.
That's weird.
That's today.
It's weird, isn't it?
You know what I'm saying? So, maybe people would have more respect for us if they knew what our contributions was to the way that their life is made easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said we need to do it. Like, hey, oh, yeah, black guy created the light bulb. Oh, or improved the light bulb. You know, but they don't talk about that, right?
Well, now, yeah.
The toilet sensor. Lewis Howard Latimer. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. The lawnmower was made by a black man. You want to know why? Because they was out there making us cut the grass. Like, oh, hell no, nah, man. My back hurts. Hell no. Nah.
There's got to be a better way.
I'm going to make a better way.
I just love the traffic signal, something we use today.
Every day. And so,
and how it became a thing was
world,
him watching an accident in a horse-drawn buggy and a car. And he's like, I don't want to see that ever happen again. How can we fix that? Well, what if we had somebody standing there holding up a sign that said stop? And what's amazing is that people were like, oh, he said stop. I guess we should stop. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Like, it seems pretty elementary, but it took somebody to say, you know what? We should do this.
Yeah.
And it worked. And then for 40 grand he put in his pocket, he invented that.
And they were like, go away. You don't exist.
Listen, $40,000 in 1923.
They like, GE created the light bulb.
Well, like, GE didn't create the light bulb.
But they
never say that.
They did.
But they never say that.
No, I'm talking about the traffic light. But all right, I digress.
A simple Google shows you that they did not create the traffic light.
But I'm trying to tell you that how important it is.
No, they manufactured the traffic light. Thomas Edison created a light bulb. He invented it.
Mm-hmm.
But other people also were part of it. But he obviously is the one that with the incandescent
light bulb. The one who put carbon in it to make it last longer.
So there you go. See, it's always about improvement.
1881.
You got to love it. What do you think of this from Mel Kiper in his mock draft? The Jets taking a tight end, Brock Bowers, who's apparently a talent, like a talent.
Yeah, he got hurt this year for Georgia. Like he's like a generational. But you know,
but
I get nervous when I think about Kyle Pitts and the fact that he came out with all that and wasn't able to do anything. But listen, like a weapon is a weapon. So, like,
well, here's Mel Kiper explaining to the guys this morning about why he has Brock Bowers to the Jets when the Jets desperately need offensive linemen.
In terms of the Jets, I tried to get
an offensive lineman. I'd move J.C. Latham from Alabama up to that fifth spot because he's red hot right now. So I have Joe Alt going to Tennessee. They could take a receiver. They could take a Nabers Odunze. That would push Alt down. I couldn't do that here. Olu Fashanu from Penn State. Yeah, it's a mixed opinion. I gave him to the Jets in the first mock. I didn't hear. We'll see how that goes because there's a mixed opinion about him. The Jets like him enough, and I don't know how the Jets' ratings are. I went with Bowers. I have a higher grade on Bowers than Fashanu. And Bowers, to me, is a guy that could help out Garrett Wilson. He's not a tight end. He's a fullback, H-back, slot, wide, everything. He can do anything you want him to do. So he would be great for Aaron Rodgers, but you don't get the offensive lineman. I get that. But you can find other ways to help that offensive line and just that 10th pick overall.
I buy it. I buy his reasoning. I just don't love it as a Jet fan.
Listen, I said they needed to get Palmer, right, from the Chargers because we think that Bowers is going to go, some of the drafts had Bowers to the Chargers. So Palmer is a dynamic pass-catching guy, and I told you that I believe we need a much better upgrade at tight end. Like, mm-hmm. Conklin is okay, but, mm-hmm. He's not a guy that moves the needle. You saw what LaPorta did last year for the Lions.
Oh, yeah.
He was a rookie. And, the fact that this guy is supposed to be better than him. If it happens, listen, you just need to get great players on the offensive side. And if they took Malik Nabers, if he failed, we wouldn't be surprised. We'd be like, oh, we all
fooled. Well, that makes sense, too, because they need that other wide receiver.
But a tight end – under Aaron Rodgers, and LaPorta gave you 900 yards receiving or 800-something yards receiving, if you're getting that, that's still great. That's productivity that you expect from a rookie wide receiver.
All right, well, Aaron Rodgers, obviously the ability to play with a guy like him, and obviously Rodgers would be able to utilize every weapon to its top ability. Here's what Brock Bowers had to say about that potential.
It would be pretty sweet. I mean, he's one of the best of all time dude at quarterback, and it'd be cool to learn under him and just play with him and hopefully learn some stuff.
But I just think on draft night, Jets fans, as much as everybody will explain to them, hey, this guy's a generational talent, it could be this, he could be that, I guarantee you that will draw boos.
You can't worry about that.
That will draw boos. You're right. You can't.
And especially if you've taken care of business in free agency. If you're taking business free agency.
And you'll know that going into the draft, won't you?
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Like I told you, they need to look at Connor Williams. They need to go look at the Dotson kid. It's a lot of guard/centers that they can go out and really go out and, letting Langton Thompson go. I think you can go out and buy two and draft one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. So I think they can go out, and if they go out and get the kid from the Patriots, that's a left tackle. If they go get the kid from the Raiders, that's a left tackle. It's left tackles out there that's available. So if they go out, if the Jets go out and they get a starting left tackle that's one of the bigger guys on the market and get a guard or a center, man, there you go. Because they get a left tackle, they can always.
You're not getting a left tackle in free agency. Nobody's giving you a left tackle, and anybody available sucks.
No, that is not true.
That's not true.
When we come
who
back,
good?
Break, when we come back, when we come back, I'll give you names.
You give me names because
I did this last week.
Well, I didn't hear it, and I wouldn't believe it if you did it if I was around for it.
I will refresh your memory.
I find it hard to believe that anybody good is available.
It is a lot of great.
Great? All right. That's a tease. That's a tease. Bart's going to tell us great left tackles that the Jets could sign. This free agency. I can't wait for this. Stay with us. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
You've got some business to get to.
Oh.
So let's not mess around.
Okay.
You told me, you told me that the Jets will be able to get. All right, so let's see. If you're power ranking the most critical positions in the sport, mm-hmm. quarterback, number one. Number two is what? Left tackle?
Yeah.
Okay. So left tackle, the second most critical piece that you can have as a franchise. Yeah. And you're telling me that the Jets will be able to find, not a good one, a great one, as a free agent. And I'm saying I can't imagine if anybody's great, no team's letting them go.
Well, guys have. See, the thing is,
so you
guys,
tell me then.
You're getting guys that are kind of older, and teams have okay. a lot of younger players they have to pay.
Okay.
Now, I can say that guys like Tyron Smith, right?
Broken down older player, yep.
Yeah, but played great last season, and which means he'll great. Probably break down for the Jets if you sign him. So
aren't you worried about that?
No. So I totally understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is I think that you have an ability to be able to get some guys, you know, that are interiorly. Like sometimes you just got to protect your left tackle. But what I'm saying is, with Vera Tucker, who's always injured, versatility, and also Tippmann's versatility, right? I've been telling
well,
you
Vera
about,
Tucker sounds like they're going to put him on the right side, right tackle. That's what okay. it sounds like.
Okay, so there we go.
And right, then you right go tackle. Interior, right? You go interior maybe so, later so, in
so,
the draft.
So this guy, Kevin Dotson, is a beast. And I told you about that. He was failed in Pittsburgh, but he was playing left tackle. He's been out. He's going to be probably one of the highest paid guards in the league right now, and he's young. He's only 26 years old. So I've been telling you about him all season mm-hmm. that he was going to be a free agent. He is a beast, right?
Okay.
So, you know, maybe you replace Langton's money with his money.
Right. So right he's now, your guard. Okay.
Right. So New England had a guy Mike Owenu.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So he's going to be available. He was a tackle as well. Right? If you want to go that if you want to
thought
go
he was
that
a right route. Wasn't he a right tackle?
Yeah, he was a right tackle.
Right, but you have your right tackle.
Well, Tyron Smith. What I'm saying is finding a left tackle may be difficult, right? But it's going to be some guys available out there.
I thought you just told me that you could name a couple of great ones that are available in free agency.
Yeah, Tennessee had one that was tough to get. His name was because he plays behind Laremy Tunsil, so he played on the right side, but he's really a left tackle, and they drafted him. But we can go also with Connor Williams, right? Because he, you know, who knows with what they have to pay Tua Tagovailoa. You know, you see they're starting to create space already cutting Xavier Howard. So I'm saying you can go out and get a great center too, knowing that you can always move Tippmann to right guard, right?
Mm.
So you talk about that.
But you're still not giving me the left tackle.
I gave you two. I gave you the Trent Brown, right, who's only played good when he was been with the Patriots. But, you know, he's a big, massive left tackle. He went out and got paid a little bit for the Raiders, and the Raiders didn't, you know, he fell out of favor really fast there. But you can go Trent Brown. Like,
can I really
bad.
Take that kind of a chance, though, with Aaron Rodgers at 40 years old? And like, I have to get it right this year. I can't gamble on guys that – might have been good, but then didn't play good, and then this guy was all right, but now he's not playing all right, and this guy used to be a left tackle, but now he's a backup right tackle.
I gotta
know it, left tackle, Bart.
Trent played well, but the thing is, he's only played well in New England.
That still worries me.
Right, but I mean, it's not that he's not capable. You just got to figure out. Listen, he went out to the Raiders. Who knows what the hell was going on out there?
Well.
You remember, he's one of the highest paid players in the league. He's the highest paid tackle because he's a crush to Jets at left tackle.
Like, but I just think you need
You gotta know at left tackle with Aaron Rodgers, because what was the position of why he got hurt?
But you don't.
It was left tackle.
That's because he just because he dove at his feet.
Well, it doesn't matter. You did not protect my quarterback. I need to know at that spot.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, you don't need the great. If you're left tackle.
I need the best I can get.
Okay, well, go get your boy Donovan Smith that said he always wanted to be a Jet.
Well, you just told me he's a bum.
I didn't say he was a bum.
But you did.
I didn't say he was a bum. The right tackle for Kansas City was the bum. But if you get Donovan Smith, it's not horrible.
He wants to be a Jet. He can play left tackle.
Right. You just watched him win a Super Bowl.
You told me that the reason why he said that is because he knows he's not going to get paid by the Chiefs, so he wants to get paid.
Yeah, because the Chiefs have massive needs. They got to pay Snead. Right. They got to pay so many other people.
They might franchise Snead, actually.
They can't franchise Snead.
That was the word.
They got the other, what's the other one? Snead is the slot. You know what I'm saying? But they also got to pay Chris Jones.
But I think it's easier to pay him than it is to just want to have control with Snead. I think that's what I saw somewhere. All right, that's not important.
Have they tagged him yet?
No.
Exactly.
Right. You got till next week. But all right.
I just gave you three left tackles.
None of them resonated with me.
If you're left tackle, but listen, I just gave you two dominant people that you can get. So who cares if your left tackle ain't the best? You can protect him.
How? Wait. I need him to protect me.
Listen.
Why am I protecting him?
Listen. If you got a great right tackle in Vera Tucker, we know he's one of the best when healthy, right? And Tippmann showed that he was really, really good at right guard, right? Mm-hmm. That means that you can go out. You either go get Connor Williams, move Tippmann to right guard, or you can go out and you can sign a guy like Cushenberry.
Well, I need somebody to also, with Breece Hall, I need guys that can get out and block, from running game, too.
So that's Eric Dotson.
Okay. All right. So you're giving me Eric Dotson interior, which is fine.
Or you have the Ravens are in salary cap hell, right? So, they probably cut Marlon Humphreys. But you have an opportunity to take Kevin Zeitler at 33, who was probably one of the best pass-protecting guards in the game last year.
I like that name.
And we know what that defense was like. We know what that run game was like in Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
So, you give that with Breece. So you move him to left guard.
I like that name. Sorry, right. You finally gave me a name that I'm like, all right, I like that. But it's still not a left tackle, but I still like the name.
But Dotson's better.
Bart,
than
don't
him
you feel
younger.
Like when
Dotson's
we get to.
Better than Zeitler.
When we get to training camp, don't you feel like the only thing that's going to matter is did Joe Douglas finally make an offensive line that can stay healthy and protect the quarterback? Because that has been the problem. He has not been able to do that.
I got that. So let's just say if everybody on your team is really, really good and you have a slightly above average left tackle in Donovan Smith, but then you're able to go get Zeitler and Dotson.
Well, again, that's the high tide raises all boats, right? So if I can get a line. Look, you also know this too. Offensive lines don't always have to be about having the best players, but how they play together. Because the line is the team within the team. If all those guys are just really good, but really good together and can be together for more than two games without having to switch out people because of injuries, like that's in the end, that's what you need. And that's been really hard for Joe Douglas to put together. It's got to happen. All right, we got to leave it there. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your calls. Coming up, though, a Daniel Jones argument that we need to have. A discussion. But an argument, too, because varying now opinions about Daniel Jones with the Giants and what the Giants should do at quarterback. All that coming up. Stay with us. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So if the draft goes the way that most expect, the top three quarterbacks will be off the board by the time the Giants select at number six. So what would their options be? What about the possibility of J.J. McCarthy? Early this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, guys got the feelings of Mel Kiper Jr.
This is the most difficult player to evaluate in this draft is J.J. McCarthy because you don't see him carrying a team. You don't see him having those wow games like Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, even Drake May did a lot in 2022. You don't see that with J.J. You see J.J. being solid, making throws when he had to, running when he had to, as he did in the national title game, being a great leader, being super tough, showing great athleticism.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.